the life. Yeah, right. That was a long drive.
Yours has a swift one.
Long drive just from
Kingsbury. Oh, am I really? Yeah.
Right. 5 hours.
I understand we're live.
It was cold here.
Okay. Well, welcome to this April meeting of the Citizens Advisory Committee for the Water Reclamation Facility, and it looks like we're going to call this meeting to order, establish that we have a quorum. Looking around the room, it looks like everyone's in attendance. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Fantastic. Then we'll call this meeting to order. Have a moment of silence. Please rise and say the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, that brings us to announcements and presentations. Do we have any announcements or presentations today from anyone, staff or members of the advisory committee?
None from staff.
None from staff, okay. Possibly from Mary?
On the top, that's right. All right, so I just wanted to bring up something that happened last week. I participated in an informational webinar that was sponsored by US EPA headquarters. And what's interesting about it is they talked about how they're going to be running a new water infrastructure finance program. And just a little background on it. It's called WIFIA, the Water Resources Reform and Development Act. That was signed into law last year, and basically it's modeled on the Transportation Infrastructure Finance and Innovation Act of 1998. So it provides federal credit assistance in the form of loans, guarantees, or lines of credit for eligible transportation projects. And basically that act provided more than $16 billion in assistance to projects costing nearly $16 billion in assistance to projects that cost nearly $60 billion. So WIFIA is a very innovative financing mechanism that I'm hoping that we're going to keep track of. It's just in its infancy stages, but EPA's program would fund water-related infrastructure. So projects are to be of national or regional significance, and individual projects must be reasonably anticipated to cost no less than $20 million. The program attempts to fill in a perceived gap left open by the Clean Water and Drinking Water State Revolving Fund programs by providing subsidized financing for large dollar value projects. So the credit assistance can be in the form of loans or guarantees. So EPA headquarters is going to be managing the WIFIA program, not the regional or state offices, and it's different from the SRF water infrastructure programs. So eligible assistance recipients range from corporations and partnerships to municipalities to state revolving fund programs. So what's important is that the eligible projects include that they be clean water SRF eligible projects, drinking water SRF eligible projects, projects for enhanced energy efficiency at drinking water and wastewater facilities, brackish or seawater desalinization, aquifer recharge, water recycling, even acquisition of property if it's integral to the project or will mitigate the environmental impact of a project. And you can also bundle SRF projects under one application, so that's kind of aimed towards the states. But what I found really interesting about that, so EPA has just started to staff up for this brand new program, and basically they were given $2.5 million to start to implement WIFIA. So they're just in the beginning stages of determining what the eligibility requirements are and so forth. They mentioned during the webinar that the FY15 omnibus appropriations also included it also mentioned the Army Corps of Engineers. Apparently they plan to develop a parallel program but no funds were provided for their program this fiscal year. I'm not quite sure what they're requesting for next fiscal year, but EPA has requested $5 million for program development. Let's see. So in 2014, EPA has already held a series of listening sessions across the country to hear stakeholders' concerns about the new finance program and to get advice from experts on how to design and operate it. As I mentioned earlier, it's parallel to the SRF process. The project and borrower must be deemed creditworthy. Let's see, there's a 15% set aside for small communities, that is populations less than 25,000, so that would apply to us. You can the total amount of federal assistance can't exceed 80% of the total cost, project cost, but what they said is the SRF funds could be used for the remaining 20%. And repayments are supposed to occur no later than 5 years after substantial completion of the project. So anyway, it's just something to keep track of. They're working out the kinks and the criteria so far. There are 19 criteria and 11 major headings that will be used to evaluate projects. But I think that Morro Bay is in pretty good shape because already looking over the draft criteria, it looks like we definitely touch on some of the main concerns that they want to address. So that's it in a nutshell. I'm very optimistic, and I think this is good news.
Excellent. Something for staff and even the Finance Committee to track and report back on. Thank you. Anyone else? No? Okay. Go ahead.
Sorry, I did have an announcement, not directly related, but at least tangentially related to WRFCAC. Since we last met, Council did review the rate study and made their recommendations, and the Prop 218 notice is in the mail, so should be receiving it perhaps as early as today. But within the next couple of days, citizens in Morro Bay will receive the Prop 218 notice for water and sewer rates. It was mailed to all property owners plus every mail receptacle in Morro Bay.
Great. Would you happen to have an announcement on the MOU? I believe last meeting we sent our recommendations forward to Council.
At the last JPA, there was no movement between the district and the City Council on moving forward with that MOU. They continued that item. They did manage to approve the RFP for facilities master planning as a joint project. And that is out on the streets right now with a pre-proposal meeting scheduled for next week, and proposals due back on May 12th.
Okay, thank you. All right. And I'd just like to add, I had some changes in my work for the better, but it keeps me busy, and I wanted to thank Mr. Woodson for filling in the last few meetings in my absence. I've been, seems like, all over the nation, and hope to say it's the last meeting I miss, but I'm just going to get busier as the summer and fall goes on. So thank you for your last few meetings, and thank you if it should happen again. I appreciate it.
No problem.
All right. With that, we come to public comment. Anyone like to give a couple minutes? Looks like we do have a taker.
Thank you, Chairman Diodati and commissioners or committee members. My name is Linda Merrill, and I'm a 30-year resident. Regarding the Morro Bay CSD meeting on 312 and the follow-up article in the local Bay News, Cayucas Morro Bay Spar over MOU, interesting title. I watched and recorded this California Coastal Commission meeting, and as Mayor Irons keeps saying, Morro Bay did not request the old new location be denied by the ocean, be denied. The CCC staff proposed and the commission voted in favor. Now we have a much different project away from the ocean, and it is folly for the CSD president to continue to harp on the costs associated with the old location. There is no $34 million plant, and their $10 million buy-in doesn't exist. The voters supported a new council with the understanding a new plant location would follow. Cayucas representatives continue down the old path, complaining about the efforts to explore in depth the CMC site was partly to satisfy the CSD's comments. They wanted that site. It was proven to be impossible to do for several reasons. You all know them. The cost, $160 million, and the agencies involved. I favor having our attorney present at all of the Morro Bay CSD meetings so he can hear for himself what is said, respond, and be prepared to uphold Morro Bay's side of this very important project. We must proceed with this new WRF. We must be prepared to go it alone and treat Cayucas as a customer only. We have to protect our citizens and ensure we remain in the driver's seat, so to speak. Thank you all for serving on this important committee and the city for televising government meetings. They're really important. Have a good meeting and thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? All right. Close public comment. Move on to item A, our consent calendar. A1 is approval of our minutes from the March 11, 2015 meeting. Any comments on the minutes? Okay. Any public comment on the consent calendar?
We approve.
Thank you.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. I need to be reminded, is this a voice or a roll call?
A voice vote.
Okay, all in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Passes unanimously. Moving on to B, old business. B1 is updates from our subcommittees, finance, environmental, and engineering. So we'll start with finance there first. So we have an update from finance.
Okay. I think I've already covered that.
Jumped the gun? Okay, well, thank you. Given during the announcements time. Environmental. Any updates on the last meeting?
No, we have not met. There's nothing to report from environmental.
Okay, thank you. And engineering?
There's nothing to report at this time.
Okay, thank you.
And just want to point out that this is just a standing item in case there is information that folks want to bring forward.
Sure.
So just want to keep that on every agenda so there is the opportunity to address those items.
More often than not, we might not have an update.
Nobody's obligated to create information for that either.
Just one question for clarification. What is the process? I think we discussed a couple different ways of getting the updates in advance. Do they still go through John, Rob, both?
Ideally, they would come to staff, and we could distribute them as part of the packet. I know not all the time that is possible to do because you're still working on it up into the meeting. And reporting out at the meeting is also
acceptable.
Yeah. Okay. But if it sometimes works out better if the board members have that information ahead of time, especially if it's more than just information and we want to have some discussion on the topic.
And if it's written material, you probably need a week lead time for your agenda development.
Yeah, we try to get this agenda out on the Friday before we could include it in the packet.
So when should we get to you, drop-dead date, if we want it included in the packet, if we have a complete report in writing?
Well, the drop-dead is the morning of the Friday before the meeting. If you get it a couple days by the Wednesday would be ideal, but the Friday before would be...
Perfect. Thank you.
Okay. And then any public comment on B1? We'll just take them separately. No. Moving on to B2, and that was receive and consider update, so no action. B2's the water recycling facility project update by staff. So I'll turn it over to Rob.
Thank you. I've included this item since it's a report that I prepare for council every month, and thought it would be a good idea to share with this committee also. It is includes a timeline of almost every action that has happened on the project, and it goes back to a couple of years, and we'll continue to update this as we move forward on the project. So you can see in the last month, you know, we've had a joint meeting with the Kaiku Sanitary District. We've released the RFP for facilities master planning. We've awarded a contract to Kevin Merck and Associates, KMA Associates, for $12,000 for biological assessment of the site and corridor. Council approved the Prop 218 notices for the rate adjustments. This group is meeting today. Rate notices mailed out today. And on the 30th, council scheduled with the district board their next meeting of the next joint meeting. So it's not the standard meeting date. So they wanted a little bit extra time to talk amongst themselves about the MOU. We also have included a draft project schedule with this that goes looking forward on the project for the next few years. So with that, I'd be happy to entertain any questions. And we have Rick Sauerwein, John Rickenbach, and Mike Nunley here if we need to call on anybody to help support the answer.
Okay. I'll start to my left and work this way. Any comments or questions down the aisle?
Mr. Donald. On your schedule where you have highlighted in yellow, which is basically the phase that we're doing right now, is that on track from prior schedules? Or is it?
It's probably slipped a month or two from prior schedules, basically due to the negotiations regarding the how we're going to operate with the sanitary district. And might note that you can see the red items are the critical path items.
Do we want to discuss any of the items on here for clarification as to what they are? Does everybody understand what they all are?
Well, actually, I was hoping that you would go through them for the public, because I don't know how many people have seen this.
Just simple things like property negotiation, development of the MOU with the owner, and all that I'm assuming that's all prior to the completion of the environmental document and the facilities master's plan. So I'm assuming that this is just preliminary negotiations to set up the parameters of how it will be facilitated with the city.
That's correct. We can't enter into a purchase agreement with the property owner until the environmental review is complete. Mm-hmm. We can enter in an MOU about how we're going to move forward with those negotiations, and things like we'll need access to the site to do some of that work. So MOU is in our attorney's court right now, and we're hoping to get it back to the property owner very soon so that he and his representatives can review it. And hopefully we're really close to MOU.
And I just want to add a little bit to answer the question, should we go through the whole thing? We certainly can. I think what I'd like to do is give you a sense, without having to go through every line item, things to think about here. There's a line item in the middle. It's not a line item, a column that's called prerequisites. You've probably gone through this a little bit. It's the effort to show what things depend on what other things. The entire schedule, this is really a much more detailed version of schedules you've seen before, which takes you to roughly 5 years out to get to where we want to be. It has a lot of lines you probably haven't seen in here before, but things we've thought about along the way. The critical path items right in front of us, and we're trying to take it steps at a time here, include, for example, getting a consultant under contract for the facilities master plan. Most importantly, though, is trying to work out what the arrangement really is going to be with CSD. And that really is, everything depends on that, in effect. So when you ask about are we on track schedule-wise, that's where you start. From there, these paths can take on the next life of their own. But essentially, the facilities master planning has got to get started. We do have some work being done right now, or going to be done soon, relative to biology, cultural resources as well. We haven't gotten that contract signed, but that is going to be coming quite soon. And then also some hydrogeological work. We are getting that contract underway with that'll be with Fugro to assess the ability for water to move underground to the extent that allows us to understand what the reclamation parameters could be in the reclamation planning phase of this. So we are getting some things going, but much will depend on the relationship with CSD to really get the whole ball moving along.
My turn.
Yes, sir.
Well, I'm looking at the schedule, and I hear critical path, and I assume that it's the red line. Is that correct?
Yes, that's a short answer.
Well, it's very unclear to me, and I'm used to schedules. I was involved with schedules for half of my career, and to try to delineate this critical path, much less milestones, much less where you're focusing your resources, is very difficult for me to do. And I think that it needs clarity. The first thing that you can help me with is those little boxes on the left column. And you start at activity 16. What is the significance of those boxes?
I'd actually like to get Mike available up here. Since Mike was primary author of the schedule, he can kind of explain some of the details.
Okay. Mike Nunley, MKN and Associates.
Hi. Let's start with those little boxes along the left column that are adjacent to the activity numbers. What is the significance of those little suckers?
So what those little suckers really are is they have to do with how you set up the task in the scheduling software.
Do they have anything to do with criticality or critical path?
No, sir. And in fact, one thing I would suggest that we could do, we'd be glad to do in the future, is provide in a what they call the roll-up version, where we take some of the detail out. This is particularly valuable, I think, at this point.
I think so, because,
yeah.
See, this is a public document.
Sure.
And this committee is pretty up to speed on being able to dig through this, but you're talking about general public trying to interpret this would be pretty tough.
Yes, sir. And we could create a rolled-up version in the future.
Okay.
Because there's, yeah, that's no problem.
Why draft?
It's always draft.
It's always draft.
How do you know when any of these criteria have changed?
We, at this point, until you have a facility master planner on board, until you've reached agreement with Cayucas or agreement on how you're going to proceed with the project, what we had discussed internally was continuing to track what changes in those various items might affect the construction date far out, but we have not established the baseline schedule.
How do you know when you change the schedule?
At this point, we have not set a baseline. That's I think what you're asking.
Is that going to be something that you're going to consider in the future so we can know what's slipping or what is accelerated or what is behind or what is ahead?
Absolutely. And one thing that one discussion point that I think will be important for staff to kind of think about is when do we have the defined project schedule? At what point do we say this is it?
Okay. I have a comment on two activities, and then I'll let others. I think that the lift number 22, the lift station, should be accelerated in its importance. You have to figure out the site. You have to figure out the linkages. You have to figure out whether you're going to go first, second, and third contingencies. If that thing goes down, the whole place goes down. And I think for you to take that and put it on the essentially the back burner because it's a separate project and it's not under the purview of all of the things that we're talking about up to now. It's considered separate. And I think that you have to be able to recognize this. The second thing is that John mentioned it. Number 46 is the hydrogeologic study by FERGO. And it looks like the schedule allows FERGO until October of 15 to make an analysis of whether or not the water is going to reach the Morro wells. It seems to me that is way, way, way too long, and you have to be developing facilities. You're asking for what? The start of this 33% of a facilities master plan to be done about the same time without knowing whether that water is going to reach the wells and what is the quality of that water? Isn't that very critical to the overall project definition and plan?
It is critical to the plan. And where it ties in, the first few items in the facilities master plan are typically data review, development of existing loads and future loads, regulatory review, and where the goal is to accelerate that preliminary hydrogeologic study as quickly as we can. One of the issues is there has to be some field work. There has to be time for laboratory analysis, and so that it's going to take a while to address a lot of the questions that we need to address. And then the goal is that feeds in to the if you go down to line 59, this is what we call the 67% facilities master plan.
Yeah.
That informs that basically the next sections of the master plan, where we start getting into the questions of where ultimately will the water go? Are there opportunities for perking the water anywhere in conjunction with direct delivery to ag? And so we'll have preliminary answers to that, and we'll know at that point, do we need to do more study because this isn't conclusive? Or do we have enough
information? But isn't that too late? In other words, don't you need that by, say, July 1st or so in there, so as you can start formulating a lot of these other issues that you need to address before October?
Well, we'd like to accelerate it as quickly as possible, but it would be difficult to move any more quickly than that 7 months to get those questions answered. There's just quite a bit of work there. And there's a lot that can go on in the facility master plan before those questions come in. And so the goal is get the facility master planner on board and work out their scope and finalize their budget and then get them going on reviewing the old data, all the reports that have been done for the last several years will all help tie into their work. They're going to develop look at coordination with the general plan. A lot of that stuff is going to be handled in that period between When they get on board, we've got an estimate of around the end of July when they start. And so there's a period there of about, say, 3 months between when they start and when that preliminary hydrogeologic study is ready. And so in that first 3 months, they can be doing all this background work and getting ready to receive that from FUGRA.
I don't know anything about it, but it seems to me it's going to be dependent on the season as well, because you're going to have rainfall, you're going to have percolation, you're going to have dry seasons and wet seasons. And anyway, thank you.
Yes, sir.
Just maybe a little bit another way to explain that. Ideally, we would be doing these things sequentially. We would complete the hydrogeologic work before we would start on the, if we had unlimited time. We're having to start things in a parallel process before we're completing with some of the other work, just to maintain, you know, working on this draft schedule that we have, to maintain some semblance of, you know, we have a goal and not quite an order, but at least the handwriting's on the wall from the regional board that we need to be done by the end of 2021 with the project. So that's not a lot of time on a project of this magnitude to be complete and operational. So we're having to do some of this work parallel, when maybe in an ideal sense we would do it complete a study.
No, I agree with you. I think that there should be many, or at least several, activities going on simultaneously.
Yeah. And it's, you know, one of the, it's not on here, but one of the critical items, at least I didn't see it on here, is working towards getting an overall program manager. Because we've been kind of cobbling this together up to this point, but getting that program manager on board, but it takes a defined relationship with our partners before we can do that.
We have item number 18 is that process for selection of a program management consultant.
Right, and just to clarify, Mike and my role is to act as interim program managers until that's defined, but there will be an RFP that goes out for the overall long-term management.
It looks like you have 5 RFPs that are in the works, and 1 RFQ. And then what I'm wondering, too, it was my understanding that these other studies, transmission line and lift station, those were going to be separate studies and not part of the facilities master plan study. And so will those all be separate requests? Or are you going to do that work in-house?
We don't have the capacity to do that work in-house. You're looking at 3/4 of our engineering department right here. The facilities master plan right now was modified since you saw it last, and does anticipate that collection system work and force main could be rolled into the facilities master planning also.
And the ocean outfall.
Yeah.
Okay, so those three items, which were, I guess, are 21, 22, and 23. Were advertised as part of the facilities master plan that went out?
Yes, based on you know, the negotiation with Cayucas on items to add back into the facilities master plan.
Okay, rather than separating them.
And we've started working on some of that now under the current contract, just to be able to provide some background information to the F&P consultant when they get on board. So that's why we've kind of pulled it out separately here, but it's going to, that work is going to inform the master plan and then be incorporated in the master plan to develop a complete budget.
Just a side note, I noticed that the new tentative non-residential sewer rates are going to be based on metered water usage. Billed up per 100 cubic feet of metered water use.
For non-residential.
For non-residential.
Yes.
I wonder whether that is... Does the city feel comfortable with the metering technology that it has to be able to accurately determine what that used water is?
Well, speaking of RFPs, we're about to go out with another one on the water side, if I put my water hat on, for automatic meter reading that would basically replace every meter.
Well, the only reason I'm bringing it up is because I think that from my my background, that as water meters get older, they get slower rather than faster.
Right.
And so they're going to show less usage than what is actual. And
yes.
So I think it's important to couple that with this as part of the plan to get the adequate money to get this done.
Yes, thank you.
All right. Continue on down the line.
Okay. Well, I agree with Bill. Unfortunately, I found this really difficult to understand. And when I jumped in, I'm sorry, Valerie.
Oh, no. I
was just kind of hoping that you might just hit upon some of the highlights, you know, the critical path items and talk about them. But I would imagine that this would be very difficult for the public to try to understand as well. And I would suggest maybe coming up in terms of an outreach item, something a little more straightforward, you know, maybe just focus on, you know, some of the main points. But what I wanted to talk about was the project financing. I noticed that, let's see, according to this this timeline, it says that there's a review of Proposition 1, the State Water Resources Control Board planning grant funding opportunities, and that started March 23rd, and preparing and coordinating with the State Water Resources Control Board recycled water planning grant application that started April 6th, and preparation and coordination of clean water SRF design planning loan. That was the State Water Resources Control Board Division of Financial Assistance, and that started April 6th as well. Could you talk just a few minutes about some of these meetings that you've had and some of the results that you've accomplished?
Those actually haven't started yet. They were planned to start when we prepared the schedule. We're still working on that, finalizing the contract with Kestrel Consulting to have them do that work. Also, a difficulty in any applications is we don't have a definition as to who will be applying yet without some form of MOU customer relationship with Cayucas. The State Board wants to know who the applicant is and where are we getting the money to repay that loan, whether it's based solely on Morro Bay rates or on both agencies' rates. That's why the relationship, at least from a finance application, is critical to get done.
And I will add, there has been some progress. Monica at Kestrel has talked with the State Board, State Revolving Loan Fund manager, about the design build of the wharf, what that process would look like. So she's getting clarity on that over the next several weeks. There are also various workshops and webinars scheduled on Proposition 1. And so she's also gathering that. We had a conference call with her about 2 weeks ago. Her recommendation was give her a few weeks to see how Proposition 1 funding is going to roll out, and she's going to circle back with us probably in the next two to four weeks and start working with us on adding some more detail to the strategy and nailing down some of these dates.
Okay, thank you.
Sir, yes, ma'am.
So I guess this important item then is working out the relationship with Cayuga is number 15. Is that project governance determination?
Yes.
And then a little bit later, a few months later, after that's completed, you're going to develop a program charter and determination of goals and roles. And the program charter is that usually it's with someone, is it a charter between all participants?
All participants, yes.
And who will those participants be?
The city and the district.
Dale, you had caught my eye there.
Basically, these are going to change basically every month, these dates.
Until
you get it nailed down. That's why it says draft. So none of these are actually...
It gives an indication of where we are, and I see my error in giving too much information.
So it's
no wrong. I like it.
And until we nail down everything, this will always be a draft.
This will always be a draft, probably till we get into the facilities master planning.
Right.
And then we'll have a schedule that will have percent complete areas where it's behind schedule, where we're ahead of schedule. But until we get to that point, this is more of a generalized schedule than a final schedule.
Right. That's why it says draft.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And there's no way to make it simpler for the public, and I would venture a guess that most of the public is not engaged to this level of detail to each task. So possibly maybe moving forward, I know some of us want all the details, other us want to digest it in a little simpler manner. Maybe for 2 years out where we're dealing with decisions, we see the tasks, and then all the way forward it's rolled up and we don't need to see every subtask that's out projected 6 years.
Or we could have a summary schedule in front of this that rolls right up these tasks. So you could look at that for kind of a general overview, and then if you want to dig down to detail, you flip the page over and you have 6 pages of detailed schedule after that.
There you go.
I can see that'd be a beneficial work product.
It's not all that different than the way the schedule had been presented online previously through the other reports, where literally 2/3 of the steps were just cut out because they weren't necessary to understand the big picture.
Did I have some more comments over here on my left?
Under the environmental project one phase report, I'm assuming under line 14 where it says submit final technical package, that those are all of the environmental studies and studies that are needed in support of the environmental document. I don't know what a technical package is. So that would it'd be under number... Under number 40.
Oh, 40.
I guess the reason why I'm calling out some of these things, if somebody were to look at them, oftentimes it's air quality, noise, water, has waste, cultural, what have you, it's all lined out. When those, how long they're taking to do it and when it's due, but I don't know what a technical package is. And I'm assuming that's in support of the environmental document, or is it in support of FMP?
That is in support of the Clean Water SRF construction loan. So those terms are very specific to that loan process.
Oh, okay.
So when it says technical package, that consists of like a project, what they call a project report. And a financial package consists of a justification that you can pay back the loan with your rates and that sort of thing. So the environmental, there's more detail on the environmental components of the work.
It's around third page, starting around item 140, 130 something.
That's correct. And then we have some of those as predecessors down the bottom of the stuff up at the top.
Okay, just since it was there with the environmental, see what I'm saying?
Understood, yep.
This hiring of Kevin Merck, is that in that environmental schedule, or is that just something on its own? And is that through you, John? Or
no, actually, Kevin's hired directly by the city in this. And the point there was, as you recall from previous meetings, we wanted to make sure there were no holes that we're going to step into on the sites. We wanted to drill down a little deeper on a few key issues, biology, cultural, the hydrogeology among them. So we wanted to get those out in front of the CEQA consultant who will ultimately be hired.
So they're not indicated anywhere on the schedule at all?
That's probably true. They're not in there right there. That's true.
Okay. Valerie, anything else?
The development of bridging documents, I still don't understand what a bridging document is in relationship to this, and I'm wondering if are these things that come up that were unanticipated studies that may come up and that will need to be done. And I'm saying that too because I'm not sure that it's not a common term, so if the public were to read this, oh, I know what a bridging document is. I mean, I don't. So maybe you could.
So a bridging document is.
This is line 71. Sorry to interrupt, okay. But when we bring up a section, let's identify it with the ID number. So yeah, 71.
Is the document that will be put out to bid for the design build process. So those are the documents that inform the bid for the construction of the facility. So they bridge the gap between preliminary design and those be what the owner's representative. They'll take the facility's master plan results and will put out a bid for design build. And that document will be the basis for that bid. Did I get it right?
That's correct. Okay. And the program manager is the owner's rep. That's what we're assuming right now, is that that's a combined role, just so the terminology is consistent.
Mr. Woodson.
The decision has been made for there will be one document for design build.
I'm not sure.
Okay. Has city council
I was under the impression it hasn't been made, the decision hadn't been made whether you're going to combine design build or have two documents, design build.
The process that we're going to use, whether it's design build or design bid build.
Yes.
I think the schedule drives that decision. There's probably.
Okay, so that hasn't been made yet, then, Rob.
That hasn't been made, but the schedule dictates the process that we're going to use.
And one thing that Rob's worked with the attorney on too is to get clarification that the city can pursue a design build process, what those parameters look like for design build, and so we've confirmed that the city would have the legal authority to pursue a design build. So some of that's been going on in the background as well.
Because there's different ways to do design build, whether it's qualifications based or more cost base, and our attorney is very concerned that it be a cost based process that we use, that it is a biddable item. Mm-hmm.
There are two construction packages, really. One is there's a design bid build on the influent lift station, the collection system improvements, and then the pipelines going up to the plant and back from the plant. Because that's very challenging. There's no advantage for that being a design build. It requires detailed design, detailed planning. It requires 100% plans and construction documents. The plant site itself, the current, it won't take as long as the construction of the plant site. So the plant site itself, the current plan is for it to be design build. So that becomes one package. The influent lift station and pipelines will have a designer under one contract, and it'll have a contractor under a separate contract, and it'll go to bid just like all your projects in the city currently do. So it'll follow that.
I just have experience on having separate contracts, which allows the designer and the builder to have the ability to interact frequently, but can be very clear on each's responsibilities, and that is a great advantage to the project manager to see where the status is, where you have a design build and you merge it with the same company, it's very hard to discern what the real status is. Is it design, procurement, or build? And so I just have my own purposes.
Okay.
Any others?
No, I think it's very detailed and it's all there, and it's, I just, whenever I called anything out, I just felt like it was maybe something that's not self-evident to the general public.
Okay, thank you.
Mary, did you get everything in?
Yes.
Your first, okay.
Same comment. Roll up a summary level for the general public. Even things like items 2 through 14, somebody's going to say, what happened to those? They did get, you know, deleted. So maybe hide some columns in your summary as appropriate, and then the more drilled-down detail for us, be fine. That's the only comment I have right now. Thank you.
Go ahead, Richard.
First, let me state something. I saw the JPA meeting with Cayutes, and the first issue that I have is that the president of the CSD stated that their first choice was CMC. That's not true. Their report stated their first choice was right where it's at. Okay? They have been... I know your data goes back to 2013, but this has been a contentious little, like, Groundhog's Day issue with CSD since, like, 2004 or 2005 it started really happening. You know, us waiting, you know, talk about the tail wagging the dog. Aren't we the lead agency here? And aren't we the responsible party if there's something that is like any fines that come out of that outfall? That's Morro Bay, okay? And I think that we need to, you know, start moving on it and just treat them as a customer. And this, you're never going to get anything built with, you know, arguing about money while you're trying to get something fixed. Now, that said... If I may tell a little background, okay?
Well, I was going to suggest that we have, at our next agenda item, we review the MOU and other options.
Okay, but I'm not going to talk about the MOU.
This item is about the schedule.
I'm going to talk about the schedule now.
Right.
This schedule, several years toward the tail end of the Cold War in 81, I was blessed.
You're going to go that far back?
Well, yeah. But
I'm not going to allow that.
But there was a project, okay? And the project was to get 5 satellites up for the National Security Council. I was blessed in building the launch pad for when I got that job. The key to that is we were able to get a rocket launched in a year and a half, where all previous conversions in Florida took 3 years. The key is getting the people, and we need to put the boots on the ground. Okay, there are certain things that we can study, like the study that Fugro is going to do. You know, there's a lot of data that CLEAT already's done that we could incorporate. Okay, now we know where we want to go. The technology, there's several technologies we could use. The California Water Environment Association is the certified agency for collection. They're the biggest ones in California for all collection system operators. They already named a PERC plant in Santa Paula plant of the year for 3 counties. Okay? So, and they built that in 2 years. Okay? And so what I'm looking at is, okay, we know we got a spot. We know that we need to get reclaimed water. We have an opportunity to take and look at what AlSeptic and those all that stuff that's going out of the county we could address here. We could have we do a managed retreat at the with the lift station, maybe in the concrete plant, maybe around there. Get together with the cultural resource people, put in a domestic sewage and a industrial sewage force main separate, And, you know, and let's get on with it. The other critical, critical thing, and I respectfully disagree with the regional board on this one, is that we have sewage in our drinking water aquifer in the Morro Basin. All the data is showing that, and anybody that says anything different is they're concluding it and forcing their data into it. Okay? Now, that infrastructure has to be repaired. There's an opportunity to do that with some of the grants that Ginny's talking about, and we need to do that in parallel. There's got to be a sense of urgency. And the other problem is that right now the EPA is around. Another administration, the EPA may not be around. Okay? There's a lot of political movement in Washington to even get rid of them. Okay? So what we need to do is really look at and get a jump on it. Now, we had a similar thing we used to call a waterfall, and that would like simplify. Okay, you got to have this done before this. But we need, I keep stressing the urgency of this, okay? And, you know, I appreciate, there's a lot of work that you did here, Mike. I could appreciate that, and John, but and staff. But, you know, just stonewalling with Cayucas, we've been in that do loop for so long that we need to get a move on it, really.
All right, thank you, Richard. And I looking at that schedule, obviously the first thing is the agreement with the CSD, and it just strikes me that if that's the end of May, we have a meeting, we have a May meeting where we could look at Plan B and make sure that this stays on track. And if it's not an MOU, what else could be put in place as an instrument that can give some certainty for the city to move forward? So that would be my only suggestion to help us help the city keep the schedule on track. Any other comments on this item? Any public comment on this item? Okay, this is also a receive and file, I believe, or what is it called? Receive and consider an update. So I'll close old business and move on to new business C1, the appointment of committee members to request for proposals for Facility Master Plan Review Committee. So I don't know if I said that right, but we're going to try to appoint some committee members for the RFP review process for the Facility Master Plan. Rob?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. At the last JPA meeting, or joint meeting between the two boards, the decision was to move forward together with the facilities master plan, and each agency would appoint several members to a review committee. The city council will appoint two of their own members to it. They suggested that this committee have two members on it. One staff member, and then a mirror image for Cayucas in their review. So it would be two board members, two members from the Cayucas Area Advisory Council, and one of their staff members would be on the review committee. With that, I've kind of summarized what the selection process is just for reference, and we're looking for this committee to pick two willing members to serve on that proposal review committee. And I anticipate, well, depending on how many consultants, probably a couple of days of interviews and discussion.
Okay, is this an item where we need to take people and just raise their hand and volunteer, or do they need to be what's the word called? Nominated.
You could start with maybe a hand raise to see how many people there are interested. I suspect there might be a few, go from there. We would ideally like to see a motion selecting.
Yeah, we'll need
those.
That for sure. Yeah. Okay. So any volunteers to be on this committee? Got one. We got two. We got three. Okay. So we're gonna have to do a vote, it looks like, out of the three. If we nominate, we have Paul Donnelly, Stephen Shively, and Richard Sadowski raise their hands. So any nominations for the positions?
I nominate Paul.
Okay, is there a second for Paul? Dale, you second?
No, Dale second. I want to nominate Steve.
You're going to nominate Steve, okay. Well, let's do one at a time. And
well, we need a second on that.
Well, are we going to vote for one position?
Oh, okay.
That's what
okay.
I was
one
do.
At a time.
Yeah.
I'll second
one at
Paul.
A time. Okay. So we have a motion and a second for Paul to be on the RFP committee. And roll call, secret ballot.
It can't be a secret ballot. We would have to report. We would have to report
voice
that
vote.
Out.
I was joking. Voice vote. I think it would work.
Or a voice vote will work, or we could do it the way council does. We could, I suppose we could have slips of paper. You could write your...
yes.
I didn't think this quite out well enough before coming here. So what I suggest we do, let's take a step backwards here. We get all the nominations out on the table for who will be on the committee. We'll pass out slips of paper. You'll take a vote. We'll collect those, and then we'll report out that vote and which member voted for who.
Okay.
That might be the simplest way to get to the end.
And we'll back up and do that. So we have
okay.
a motion so, and a second for Paul.
If I could ask our clerk to get us nine. Sorry about this, Kay. Why don't we take like 5 minutes, recess for 5 minutes?
Well, let's see how many. Let's see how many. Motions, how many nominees
okay.
we have first.
Okay.
So, and then was there a motion by you, Dale?
Yeah, I motion for Steve.
Steve, okay. Is there a second for Steve?
Second. Go ahead, Bill.
Valerie, a second. Okay. And then Richard had volunteered. Is there a motion for Richard to be considered for the committee? I'll motion Richard. I'll move for your consideration. Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Okay, so three candidates. Anyone else want to throw their name in the hat?
It's going, gone.
Going, gone. We can take a 5 minute recess.
Wait a minute, can I make a question?
Yes.
I'm sorry, I'm not. Could we just ask each person that wants to do it, maybe just to summarize what they think they might bring? I'm not familiar with everybody's background in as much detail, so just, you know, two sentences on why they want to serve or their background or if they have the time, and just to make sure, so it's a little hard to vote.
No problem. That's a great suggestion. Two sentences in. Paul?
In my career, I've reviewed several proposals from engineers, including the one that hired Rickenbach.
I've been through this process before sitting on boards, and also I sat on the one earlier. One of the reasons I did raise my hand, I'll put out there, is the fact I don't have to be anywhere during the day, and that works out real well. And the second reason was I didn't see a whole lot of hands go up, because I honestly think it's an interesting process to go through, and you don't need to necessarily be technical to do it, but when... Yeah, I stuck my hand up when I didn't see hands going up at the very beginning, but I have no problem serving on it, and I'd be honored to do it for this committee.
Thank you. And Richard?
I'm going to remove my name, and we just need two, right?
Yeah, correct.
Yeah, that'll eliminate the vote. That'll
oh, okay. Well, thank
right.
you. That's appreciated.
Yeah.
So maybe we don't even need a break
okay.
now.
Okay.
Oh, boy.
Uh-oh.
Okay, but we still need a vote, so...
I guess we could do a voice vote.
Yes, we'll do a voice vote here. Who, you want to do a roll call?
So we...
Okay, so going back, we had a motion. Dale, did you motion for Paul?
No, Steve.
Steve did for Paul, and it was a second by...
Valerie.
And then for... Steven, we had a motion by Dale and also a second.
Valerie.
No, I made the motion for Paul.
She made the motion for Paul.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we want to make sure the clerk gets this right. So for Paul, Mary made the motion with a second by Steven made the second. And then for Steven, Dale made the motion, Valerie made the second.
And then for Richard...
I made the motion. It was seconded by Bill. Is that correct?
Yeah.
And I am willing to redact that motion and
Me too.
Or he withdrew.
Yeah. So.
So we good?
We are good.
We're good. And do we still need a vote to make it official?
Yeah,
since we have two? Okay.
Yeah.
Approve the motion, and this is for both members' voice vote.
All those in favor?
Yes.
You are looking in the June time frame, correct?
Yes.
Oh, okay, good. I'll keep it open.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? None. Motion carries. And excellent. There's no one in the public. I didn't take public comment, but there's really no one out there to give public comment. So I got a hall pass.
Well, we do, but.
Okay. Item D, member committee closing comments. We'll just do a lap around the room. If anyone, we'll start with you, Dale. Any closing comments?
No.
No, all right.
I just better not.
And if you have any items that are...
Future agenda items.
Future agenda items, we can consider those items. Also.
I have nothing at
nothing.
This
point. Nothing. Paul, no? Okay. Valerie?
Yes. Since there are a few other RFPs that are coming out, and I guess the most major being program management and consultant, and that for the design build team, and then the request for qualifications for the EIR EA permitting, would there be an opportunity for other board members to perhaps sit on that selection committees?
Definitely.
Because then that way we could call in maybe some of their expertise, and I. So.
Good,
yes, we'll probably do a similar process when we go through
when we get to that.
More of those major selectees, like the environmental review, and of course the design build will be a bid, not a proposal.
Will be a bid. Okay. I actually did have one other. Sorry. The city is going to be working on this financing and review and packaging and everything. And I don't know if the finance committee, if this is something that they would like to participate with the city on as in to assist the city with, or if that's even an appropriate sort of thing to do. I know that they've accumulated a lot of information or...
Maybe the best way to do that is to schedule Monica to come back into town, and we can have a finance subcommittee meeting when she's back in town, and to coordinate that. And I'll work with
the team.
These three right here, this side of the table on that finance committee meeting. And we'll probably do like a doodle poll if that works for you to do that.
And that's within that time period here that you have basically to have completed that work by June of 2015.
Yes.
So, okay. Because I know that they spent a lot of time and they did pull together a lot of the information in the earlier funding package. So I don't know if you want to do that or not, but I think it would be a benefit.
Thank you. Mr. Woodson.
Well, Mr. Chair, I want to put you on the spot. I emailed Rob about an article in the Bay News about a tour of the Los Osos construction of their water reclamation facility status. And I believe I got a response from you saying that maybe you could set up a tour for maybe this group to go over there to see what it looks like physically, because it looks like they're using the same technology that we probably will be using. And I was wondering whether it would be possible in the near future to set up a tour of the Los Osos site. And I know it's a lot of concrete, but we could also get a concept of the size and how you go about from A to B to C. So I was wondering whether you could do that for us.
I could help facilitate that. Either we'll have to discuss the details if it's a public meeting, or if the staff in charge of that project has the time to break it up into a couple small tours for who's interested in seeing it. But I'll continue that conversation with Rob and see if we can line something up, because that is a good idea. That facilities are very similar, and it's our most recent
one on the coast to go through the Coastal Commission process, so we should take a look at it. I will. Okay. Mary?
I have a question for Rob, and that would be concerning the City of Morro Bay Water and Sewer Rate White Paper.
Okay.
Can you talk a little bit about this? What is its purpose? This isn't what was sent out to the public, right?
No, it isn't. The Prop 218 notice is actually three times longer than that.
Okay.
That gives much more detail. This kind of summarized things. I put it together for my own purposes, mm-hmm. for some talking points mm-hmm. when I give presentations, and I thought others might see it as valuable mm-hmm. to give kind of a summary on the project. So I emailed it to all our advisory bodies mm-hmm. So that they could have it, and I think I finally got my email address correct in it. So it summarizes the council's decisions on where they've recommended the rates to go and what will be in the, as far as numerical values, what will be in the rates. So it gives the water rates, the sewer rates, and those add-on specialty rates that will be included in the Prop 218 notice.
Actually, I think it was well written, and I was just wondering if, with a few edits, it might actually be a fact sheet that you could send out to the public or at least have available at various places.
Yeah, it's. I found it difficult to get it down to even two pages, mm-hmm. all that information, mm-hmm. and because that was my goal, to get it onto one double-sided page mm-hmm. without reducing the font to 6 point.
Right.
yeah. So I think, you know, some more edits, maybe reducing some of the information mm-hmm. in there and adding more, mm-hmm. it would be a good information sheet.
Okay. So I'll just, after this meeting,
yeah,
give
yeah.
you my comments.
Sure. Perfect.
Great. Thank you so much.
Moving on down.
The only thing I would like to follow up on, John, is ask that you put on the agenda the MOU. We had a lot of discussion on that last time, and we saw the one meeting. There's another one, but I do think time is of the essence, and so let's put that on the next meeting agenda and discuss
it. And my recommendation was not just the MOU, but maybe our advisory committee could do a analysis of some of the alternatives that might be used in lieu of an MOU if that agreement can't be reached. Mm-hmm. I'm just thinking out loud, could the city adopt an ordinance, a rate structure ordinance, and have a schedule for municipalities? And then if Cayucas, we build the plant, Cayucas comes along later as a municipality and they pay according to the rate schedule and all the costs that are their fair share built into that, something like that, where we can have that dialogue of what else, yeah. what other mechanisms are out there.
Yeah, I think that's a possibility.
And does the JPA meet after our May 13th meeting?
They meet April 30th.
Because May 25th, according to the schedule now, May 25th is the deadline for, it doesn't say execution, but determination of,
right.
of
mm-hmm.
an agreement.
And that schedule date is not a hard and mm-hmm. fast deadline because it's negotiations. I don't know that we can. Yeah, mm. I don't know that we can force
Correct.
That decision
Correct.
Sooner than it kind of will organically take place. I think the next JPA meeting will give an indication on where we're going to end up.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Thanks. Mm-hmm. I'm done.
And Richard, good. Okay, well, that's it. Look forward to the next meeting. Glad to be back and see all you guys.
Yeah.
It's not fun to call in. That's hard to do. Thank you. And any public comment on item D? No. Okay, then we'll adjourn this meeting and reconvene here at the Community Center Multipurpose Room, 1001 Kennedy Way on May 13th, 2015, 3 p.m. Thank you, everyone.